Now, you may be wondering, is there going to be another episode of Mission Spin Out ahead of the Miami GP? Well, we're here to tell you, here at Mission Spin Out, founders of the Mission Spin Out podcast, there is another Mission Spin Out, and it's right now. Welcome to the show, everybody. How we doing? How we doing, guys?
I'm good. I'd like to thank my sponsors.
Yes, NordVPN. Rage Shadow Legends. Yeah, for sure. No, we don't get money. We just basically advertise those super free. I mean, that's the point of the meme at this stage. But
you do realize that you said ahead of the Miami GP, right?
Yeah, I was gonna let that.
Well, yeah, it's after the Miami GP. I guess we're technically ahead of the Barcelona.
Yeah, you definitely said ahead of.
Well, yeah, it's just that's why I used the wrong phrase, actually.
Or maybe
yeah.
We're just from
in the wake of stupid the merchant. Miami GP. Ahead go. Of the Spanish GP. Yeah, that good. That works
better.
Is that where we are this week?
That is where we are this week.
I should probably have known that.
Yeah, this is an F1 podcast, so that probably would have been great. Obviously, Barcelona.
Are they still racing?
What would you say?
Are they still racing?
Yeah, they are racing still. Actually, which is cool. I'm glad you're probably very happy to hear that.
I am.
We'll talk a little bit about what happened in Miami, but looking ahead for a second, we have Barcelona coming up this weekend. Barcelona is typically known as not a thrilling track. However, last year's Barcelona race actually was pretty decent with the pit strategy and with Lewis Hamilton pulling off a win over Max Verstappen kind of towards the end of the race off that. That was a lot of fun to watch. We'll see if we can get the same type of race or exciting race this year. But that's kind of why I wanted to kick off the show. That's the topic I wanted to kick off the show with. We have some new regulations here. We've got some better overtaking. We've got easier to follow cars. Do we think that with these new regulations, it will be a more exciting race here in Barcelona, or will it be more of the same that we have seen over the past few years?
Even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while, right?
That's true. That is true. And to be fair, Paul Ricard, which is also normally a very boring race, happened to be exciting last year as well. So might be due for another unfortunate down race, or could we go back to back on some thrilling races here at Barcelona?
Good question. I'm sure it's going to be Ferrari qualifying first, Sainz driving like a clown, Verstappen getting in the DRS of Leclerc, and he's a sitting duck. That's my prediction.
Well, that would follow the recent events, especially at the Miami GP, where we saw that Red Bull's straight line speed happened to vastly overcome the Ferrari.
Sorry. I have to interrupt you. Please use its full name, the Formula One Crypto.com Miami Grand Prix.
Okay, that's true. The Formula One Crypto.com Miami Grand Prix.
Thank you.
In which
the sponsors paid lots of money.
Absolutely.
In that they which, surely now have.
For sure, 100%. That Max Verstappen did end up winning and closing the gap between Red Bull and Ferrari. So, Sam, good to start off there. Do you think that this straight line speed that Red Bull has is going to eventually come back to bite Ferrari in the coming races? Or do you think with some tracks like Barcelona and Monaco coming up that Ferrari will be able to get some more points here in this stretch?
Yeah, this is Ferrari's chance to really put some distance between themselves and Red Bull. These next few tracks, to be honest, we got Spain, especially Monaco, and also Canada. These are tracks that aren't super easy to overtake at. They don't have super long DRS zones. It's just the way that the season is shaping out with this straight line advantage that the Red Bulls have. If Ferrari don't really consolidate their lead in the championship in these next three races, starting with Barcelona, they're going to be in big trouble. Big, big trouble coming
for sure.
This summer.
I still think that's the meme of the season is Binotto's like, yeah, Ferrari needs to do something about the straight line speed. My brother in Christ, that's you.
Yeah, and to be fair, this has been a lot of teams sort of date for their upgrades coming up. And we're probably going to have a lot of those from Ferrari, from Red Bull. We know that Red Bull wants to make the car a little bit lighter. We know that Ferrari is definitely going to try and get an upgrade package to improve all across the board. Reportedly, Aston Martin's going to bring a basically entire new car. We'll see how that goes with that.
It can't get worse. Well, they
it can't. Yeah, it can.
I can't wait. I can't wait for Aston Martin to show up with a Red Bull clone.
Yeah, it's got the same, like, the split side pods. Yep. For sure.
Like a Lawrence Stroll Issa coincidence.
Well, Adrian knew he helped design the Valkyrie, so maybe this is a quid pro quo. Yeah. Definitely a quid pro quo. It should be interesting. I have a feeling that, it's going to come down to the upgrades, I think, over the course of the season with how Ferrari and Red Bull both treat theirs. Obviously, they will both be upgrading. I'm sure Red Bull's probably already done a lot of upgrades and might be getting close to that cap there. I'm sure Carlos Sainz's unfortunate accidents will probably brush Ferrari a little bit closer to the cap as well. So how the teams develop their cars from here on out could definitely be telling as to how the rest of the championship goes. Obviously, I think Leclerc and Verstappen are both great drivers, and I've said this before, I don't really care who wins between the two. I mean, I prefer Verstappen, but as long as there's a good fight between these two drivers, and it's looking like this is kind of what it's shaping out to be. So I've been pretty pleased overall with the season so far. And I'm just hoping that we can get a good race in Barcelona. Maybe these new regulations will help that. Maybe it'll be more of the same. As some people have pointed out, teams do test a lot at Barcelona, which they did do a private test at Barcelona this year. So they already have a lot of data, and that can sometimes lead to some processional racing. Hopefully we can avoid that this time around. So we will see what happens. However, to end the long ramble, I believe Lewis Hamilton has won quite a few times in a row here at Barcelona, and looks like that will come to an end.
Yeah, that's not going to happen this year. I'm pretty confident in that. I haven't been right on a lot of predictions this year, but Lewis not winning this weekend. Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb there.
Go on, really stretch.
Now that Sam says this, watch Lewis just like figure it out.
I know.
Mercedes brings finally the biggest colossal upgrade package.
Yeah.
Wins every race from here on out.
No, I think Sam will legitimately stop watching Formula One.
Even if they do, like, I think they're honestly too far back to even like catch up in the championship.
They're only 52 points behind Ferrari.
To be fair on that point,
how far are they like behind Leclerc?
62.
Yeah, I was about to say, believe it or not, despite some really consistent results from people like George Russell, it seems like the Mercedes on pace to the leader each race is dropping back. So that's not a good indicator for their future success. Yeah.
George keeps finishing like fifth.
Mr. Safety Car. Yeah.
Yeah, well, Mr. Safety Car, yeah. But he keeps finishing fifth everywhere, which is super impressive. He's always, like, the best non-Red Bull or Ferrari. But he keeps becoming, like, a less competitive fifth.
Yes, for sure.
And I don't think it's because of – I don't think it's because he's driving worse. I think Merck is falling back.
They are. And from – I believe it was about 7/10 back they were in Bahrain. And I believe they've been over a second back in Miami. So it's definitely growing with the – upgrades, I'm guessing, to the front runners, that gap is definitely widening.
Yeah. So, also, we got to have that conversation. Lewis starts what, like P6, and George starts P12, and George gets him.
Not great. I will say, as much as I will call George Russell Mr. Safety Car, he did pitch that strategy to his race engineer to wait it out, and it worked. So I got to give it to him there for sure. Yeah,
but that's a tough scene from Lewis. Like, I know
he clearly does not agree with this car.
No,
100%. we're gonna have to have some very uncomfortable conversations about Lewis if this continues.
We'll see
about like current iteration of Lewis, or like please tell me, I don't want to play the legacy game, I'm not doing that, but like about this season, yes,
for sure.
I'm saying if George Russell beats Lewis Hamilton this season, I'm gonna have to reevaluate some things about Lewis.
Are you really?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry, you can't get beat by George Russell by PR63.
Well,
I do want to point out too,
go for it.
Like, at the same point, we're also playing this game. Valtteri Bottas is like quadrupling our expectations in the Alfa Romeo, and we're all just like, yeah, but he was still bad in the Merc. Like, this season's reevaluating a lot of things from that like mid stretch. So if we're playing the whole like, oh, Lewis is getting dusty because he finally has a good opponent, Valtteri Bottas is like excelling in a midfield car. And that's the guy that we all like said Lewis deserved no credit for beating for 10 straight years. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. We'll see what ends up happening. I feel like if Mercedes gets some upgrades towards the end of the year, and I think they might, then if that car becomes easier to drive, I have a feeling Lewis is going to start shining. Bold prediction.
Just giving everyone a head start.
I think Lewis's streak of winning a race every year will still be on at the conclusion of this season. Later in the season when these upgrades have happened and the Mercedes...
Well, isn't the Mercedes, like, last I heard, the Mercedes is, like, the team as a whole is very close to just abandoning this season. If, like, their new upgrades don't actually work, they're going to, like, abandon this concept and they're just going to try to fix the car for next year.
Well, that makes sense, honestly.
That wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, that makes sense. And if that's the case...
That's what the latest report has been.
And if that's the case, then, yeah, that would make it very difficult. But yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb. This is me going out on a limb.
I hope I'm wrong. I don't think either Mercedes driver wins a race this year.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I just don't believe in this car. Like,
it's bad. This car is bad. It's not great.
Yeah. I mean, you know, let me just, you know, put my engineer hat on, you know, Sam Campisano, famed engineer, have the degree for it. I don't like their concept. Excellent. Yeah. I don't like their concept. I'm sorry. I just don't.
You should have just told Toto that. They wouldn't have done
it. Yeah. I could have saved them a lot of time. No side pod merchant.
Toto actually spent, instead of like actually in researching the car, Toto just spent 4 months LexisNexis-ing Michael Massey and just trying to find his address.
Mm-hmm. That's what the offseason was really focusing on, was that sort of him hunting down Michael Massey and demanding to fight him one-on-one.
River, sure. Why did your voice suddenly become sensual? Why are you whispering? It's uncomfortable.
I just moved to a room with a little bit more echo. Can you, I might move back.
Okay.
Give me a moment. Just talk about stuff, and then we'll cut this out. Okay. Just give me a moment. Just go for it.
Sam, how about this weather we're having?
What weather you're having?
I don't know. Yeah,
I'm on a different continent, but weather is great. Yeah, I'm vibing right now. It's like 70 degrees, super sunny all the time. It's great.
Interesting. Yeah, it's pollen season here.
Oof. Yeah, we did this bike ride the other day through the forest, I was dying. Man. Yeah, it was fun. Anyway, very relevant discussion that we're having right now. I don't know, man. It's like, I feel like we don't even have anything to say about this race. Like, I don't know. There's not really any big talking points.
I feel like we kind of know where everybody's at. Like, I feel like every race is just affirming every point we already have. It's like, okay, Aston and Williams sucks. Mick Schumacher's really disappointing.
Yeah,
AlphaTauri is disappointing us, and I have a bone to pick with Pierre Gasly after Miami. Loser.
You know
what that is Yuki Tsunoda defeating Pierre Gasly currently in points.
Schumacher though. Like gave it to him on the pod.
We need to talk about Mick Schumacher.
Yeah,
because
he has been bad.
No, River. No, he hasn't been bad. He's getting blanked by Kevin Magnussen, who, after being out of F1 for 2 seasons, got thrown in the car like 6 weeks before the year started.
Yes, and not to mention that he had his first opportunity for relatively easy points in Miami and absolutely ruined it. Yeah.
Yeah. He's becoming quite the bin merchant, unfortunately.
Which he was last year, but we all went, okay, the car was terrible last year, and everyone knew that, and we kind of gave him a pass, and I think we should have at that point, He was a rookie going into an absolute dog of a car to drive, and even though he crashed a lot, it was like, well, understandable, bad car, rookie. Now, less
excuse. Can we have a starker conversation? Last year's Haas really that bad?
Yes.
Yeah, I think
was it?
I think so.
I know, but like Mick's doing the same stuff in a car that Kevin Magnussen's outscoring Danny Ricciardo in.
Well, yeah, but he's doing it like from a much higher position in the field, at least.
And that's also another thing I like to talk about as well. You look at Haas right now. Haas has 15 points in the Constructors Championship and they're eighth. All 15 of those points have come from Kevin Magnussen. Yes. So if Mick had even matched that, they would possibly be sixth. Yeah. That's not a great optic for him as a driver at all.
Again, yeah. Kevin Magnussen is outscoring one of the McLaren drivers.
Yes, for sure. And you have to understand that difference in that money from 8th to 6th in reward money is could be crucial for future development, et cetera, et cetera. And because Mick has been so poor this year, they could potentially be losing out on that, which is really unfortunate. Yeah.
By himself, Kevin Magnussen is outscoring both AlphaTauri drivers, and AlphaTauri is still ahead of Haas.
Yes. Very bad.
You have to say they have not been the 8th slowest car this year.
No, not at all. Not at all. No, speaking of which, Fernando Alonso's woes have been very unfortunate this year as well, especially going back to Miami GP.
I despise playing this game, and I've avoided it with Lewis, even though I feel like it's to a much lesser extent. I still feel like it's a little bit true for Lewis, but the bigger point is still that he's driving badly in a car that he should be performing better in. I hate this argument. I feel like Fernando's just been unlucky.
I do, too.
I hate it, and I know that we got enough of a sample size where it's like you should have more than 2 points by now. Like, he's tied with Lance Stroll. He should not be tied with Lance Stroll. But at the same point, every time I go back in my head and review the races that Fernando didn't finish or finished poorly, I'm like, yeah, he really
did. He had a really bad pit stop in Miami, which hurt pretty badly.
He had a bad pit stop in Miami. The qualifying, the car basically broke on him when he had two purple sectors in Australia.
He had the side pod incident in Imola.
Yeah. I think he's been in at least one crash that somebody else
was caused. That Imola, Sam? The side pod thing? Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Like, this... I hate it because it's enough of a sample size and he's far enough down in the standings.
It's only five races.
I know, but like when you're tied with Lance Stroll, I feel like in theory he has to own at least some responsibility, but I don't really know where to put it.
I will say too, if we're talking about Alpine, we have to talk about how great Esteban Ocon has been this year because he has. Yes, we do. he's been on a tear, which
He's getting outscored by Valtteri.
Yes, that's true. I think that Alpine is better than, or I'm sorry, I think that Alfa Romeo is better than that Alpine. But
I do want to give the entire Alfa Romeo team props. This is the team that I think at least me. They I think really I, it was better. My prediction, and River agreed with me. At least River, if not both of you, that Alfa will be last.
I had Alfa last as well.
No, I think not. I said Alfa will be last. No, but. I said Alpha will be last, and I think River agreed. And Sam, I think you didn't agree, but said it wasn't that bold of a take.
Yeah, I think a lot of people had them down there. They had a really rough start.
Valtteri alone has Valtteri alone would be in fifth.
Valtteri has been phenomenal. I have to give it to him. He's had some great drives over the course of the year. He almost had a podium in Miami. I couldn't quite nail it down. But
even Zhou Guan Yu, like he's had a lot of like 11ths and 12ths. Like he only has 1 point, which is kind of a tough scene. And Valtteri has so many, but he has a lot of like nearly.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's rarely been one of the bottom three drivers in any given race.
If we're talking about MVPs, I have to, of course, shout out Alex Albon. I still think that Williams is the worst car on the grid. And what he is doing with that thing is just unbelievable.
Red-haired Albon
is the truth. Yeah,
he might, like, this feels weird to say for a guy who got booted after a season at Red Bull and like probably does stink, or it did stink in that instance.
When he filled in for Pierre Gasly, he had a good season, and then when he had his first full season, he was not great.
He's dive bombing Kvyat. Yes. But
classic.
When it feels weird to say this for a guy who hasn't been there very long. Alex Albon's been one of the three smartest drivers on the grid this year. Every strategy he institutes with that Williams just absolutely maximizes that car. Like, it doesn't feel like he's obviously driving it faster than Latifi is, because like I could drive it faster than Latifi is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But like, it's not like he's putting that car where it doesn't belong, not on raw speed, but because of just the strategies he's using.
Supremely. And that car should be nowhere near points. I mean, nowhere near it. It still seems like the worst car on the grid.
Not even that. He's not doing it with like a magical qualifying lap and then slowly bleeding from 6th to 10th. He's like starting P18.
Yes. And getting up there. And when he doesn't finish the points, he's finishing 11th. He's finishing 12th. He's really sticking that thing where it has no right to be. And obviously, we've talked about using Latifi as a benchmark is maybe not the wisest thing, but Latifi is nowhere in the same zip code as Albon is in any of these races.
Well, so, granted, that's because Latifi's usually picking up stray pieces of his car.
Yes, that's true too.
Did you guys see the thing, the report that came out last week that he was going to get sacked, but then it turned out to be BS?
Yes. I believe that kind of came from, I'm guessing, because I saw that Nick DeVries is going to drive FP1 for Williams in Barcelona. I'm guessing that's probably where that story kind of originated.
Grew into a guy who really had no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah.
To be fair,
if Latifi survives this year, I'll be shocked. There's no way he's coming back next year.
There are 20 drivers in F1 this season. Nicholas Latifi is 21st in the standings.
Yeah. So that's the classic maze pin.
Still somehow behind Hülkenberg.
Finishing third in a two-horse race.
So with a lot of drivers waiting in the wings, and with the salary cap coming to where pay drivers will still be needed, but not as much, I would expect that there would be another driver coming into that Williams seat, depending on a lot of different things. I would definitely watch Zhou Guanyu's space once the season concludes to see what happens there at Alfa Romeo, because that could get intriguing.
Zhou is a one and done at Alfa Romeo, I'm telling you right now.
I would predict the same thing, but we will see what ends up happening, because honestly, he's been a lot better than I expected him.
He's been all right. He's still getting dusted by Bottas.
He is, but...
And Bottas sucks, so...
Well, we just kind of talked about how he doesn't. But
well, this year he might not. But like historically, he does. So,
Sam, do you have a comment on Sebastian Vettel doubling Fernando Alonso thus far in a worse car?
And Vettel has what?
Four.
4 points.
And Alonso has two.
Yeah.
Even though Alpine's a better car.
My comment is, talk to me in like a month or so. We'll see who's ahead.
Okay.
Deflection, let alone the end of the season. Yeah. We'll come back to this actually.
On June 17th. Mm-hmm. When Sebastian Vettel's a three-time race winner, we will double back to this conversation.
And Aston Martin's new car.
For sure.
I cannot wait to see this new car.
The Aston Martin Red Bull.
He's going to come with new hair. He's going to come with new hair, too.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to put in those hair extensions.
All right, can I just say something? Like, Vettel, my guy, he needs a haircut, okay? I'm sorry.
And I kind of like the vibe.
He's looking like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, okay?
Yeah, that's hype.
Sam, could you have imagined saying that sentence like a year and a half ago when that picture of him talking about the Aston car came out? Could you imagine saying the sentence Sebastian Vettel needs a haircut?
Being bald, I feel bad for Seb, man. Like, yeah, like
it's just money.
Money can fix everything, right?
Remember LeBron James's hairline?
I mean, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
No, to be fair to Vettel, like I mean, a lot of guys have to go through this, and it's like definitely like a serious topic.
We're not making fun of him, right?
No. I mean, we are. We are. Let's be honest.
All I said was he needs a haircut. Okay.
I am.
You are. You definitely are.
I am.
Listen, if you've got the cash to prevent yourself from going bald, you should do that 100%.
I'm just surprised he like didn't wear a hat for that Alfa Romeo thing, Aston Martin thing.
I would never know about it.
Him for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, he owned that. And honestly, knowing Sebastian Vettel, I don't think he fixed his hair because he was ashamed that that photo went on the internet. He probably just fixed it because he wanted to fix it.
Well, he was going. Yeah. That's kind of the process of getting.
Yeah, that was the process, right?
Yeah.
I was gonna say, I want one race where instead of his Aston Martin car, Seb just lines up on his scooter.
That would be phenomenal.
He would immediately be dead when the race started. But
did you guys see that Monaco historic clip that came out this week of like the 1950s Aston Martin?
Of Charles Benning the car?
We can talk about that too. No, the 1950s Aston Martin at Monaco, and somebody was like still porpoising less than the current car or something like that.
It just switched to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Can we talk about
F1 was better in the old days when you were just driving an engine. That was when it was really at its peak.
Yeah. Safety is so overrated, man.
100%. Yeah.
Can we talk about Charles Binning, one of the most historical F1 cars at Monaco?
Well, it's like, Monaco, baby. Come on, man.
I know. I'm starting to consider, like, maybe Ferrari should put Giovinazzi in the car for that race.
Yeah, I don't know what he did.
Maximize the constructors,
the gods, you know? Of Monaco, but it's something. For sure.
It really is.
It wasn't, like, even like, it wasn't even like a racing lap. It was like an out lap.
Well, he was demonstrating it. He was demonstrating the car.
It was like a celebratory, like, okay, Charo waved to the people, laughed, and he just, like, binned it. And, like, one of the most historical F1 cars.
Well, his brakes failed, but the thing is that everything fails whenever he drives the car. It's like Scooby-Doo shit. It's like something has to happen. It's like Paranormal Activity whenever he goes to drive in Monaco. Something has to happen.
Scooby-Doo shit. That's the second Scooby-Doo reference on
Who is his teammate at Sauber?
It was Ericsson, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Ericsson just lives in Monaco and just cuts Charles' brake line every, like, Saturday night.
I think Ericsson hit us.
Yeah, yeah. Classic.
Classic. Now he's in IndyCar, isn't he, Ericsson?
Yeah, and he's pretty much not doing anything. Classic example of a driver who's just nowhere near good enough for F1. Nice guy, but...
Yeah. So I know Roman. Nice guy. He's all right. Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's a nice
guy.
Like,
he seems like a cool hang shit driver.
I mean, that's the most important thing when we're dealing about F1, right? You know, it's like you don't get any points for having a nice personality. Sorry,
that's true.
That's actually that sentence is on Fernando Alonso's ceiling. He's the first thing that breaks up every.
You don't get any points for having a nice personality. Yeah.
Same for Max.
Yeah, too. Max. Max wakes up and cyberbullies someone to start his day. Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. Well. Yeah,
Max FaceTimes Daniil Kvyat and shows him his child every single day.
Dude, I want to know if that kid calls Max dad or not.
100%. I have 100%. No doubt in my mind.
Absolutely.
Is somebody, like, you can't really have a reputable journalist try to confirm this, but, like, some sleazy MF-er needs to do some digging on that one.
The
kid's going to call dad whoever's faster. And I think obviously that's Max. So
man, I don't know. Daniil's pretty good.
Is the kid even allowed to see Kvyat anymore? Like, what is Kvyat up to? Like, well, is he allowed to travel to countries, or is he, like, not getting visas?
Kvyat races in Formula E.
Kvyat's actually fighting in Ukraine right now.
Kvyat races.
You might want to cut that joke.
We might. Especially because he's mostly Italian.
No, yes. He races in Formula E, and I made that joke last week that he was going to crash into my house.
You did. Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
What
are the Formula E standings looking like? We'll close the pod, of course, by looking at Formula E.
Yes, standing. Our favorite sport that our we favorite, watch every week.
Yeah.
Daniil Kvyat's Russian the same way Lando's English and Max is from, like, Max is Dutch.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, they literally had Formula E like 10-minute walk away from my place, and tickets were like $10. I could not be bothered.
Nick DeVries ended up winning. Nick DeVries ended up winning, so you got that for sure.
That's why he's replacing Latifi, baby.
100%. We're going to look at the driver standings here for Formula E.
Stoffel Van Dorn.
We got the Stoff is currently in the lead. I had to hit the load more button, which doesn't do well. Antonio Giovinazzi in 22nd with 0 points. Not great optics there. Although from what I understand, his car is terrible. Doesn't help, but still.
Where is the famed young driver, Nick DeVries?
Nick DeVries is currently in 6th right now. He's quite a few points off of the Stoff. So,
in fairness, he won the first race.
He did.
And the most recent race.
The most recent race, CW. Yeah, for sure. My boy Dan ticked them down there into 1 point. Good for him. Good for him. He looks happy and healthy. All right, I think we are going to end.
Oh, the Stoff is winning Formula E.
What did you say?
Did we not say that?
The Stoff is winning the Formula E.
Yes, he is. He's number one in the standings. Yeah, we're talking about that.
Let's go. Get him in a car.
The Belgian mastermind.
I want him in the Haas next year.
100%. Yeah.
With K-Mag.
For sure. Sorry, Mick. The Stoff comes for us all.
Most unsporting driver on the grid.
Thanks to Zoom's sudden time limit enforced upon us, I think this is about time for us to wrap it up. But Barcelona,
yeah.
Quick predict. You have a minute to predict. Let's do it.
It says less than a minute until we self-destruct. So.
Yes, quick Barcelona predictions. I've got Max Verstappen winning in Barcelona, Sam.
I'm going to say Leclerc.
Okay.
I'm going to say Leclerc.
All right, we got one Max and two Leclercs. We will see how it goes in Barcelona. Unfortunate stretch of tracks here we've had to deal with. But
River, hurry it up.
Yeah, I got you. Hopefully, coming on, we will get some more exciting races. I am River Wells.
I'm Sam Campisano.
I'm Ryan Haley.
This has been Mission Spinout. Catch you later.
Peace.